40. Today's subject is love God and love others. Love God, love others. Everybody say, I'm supposed to. By the commandment of the Lord, love God and love others. All right, it says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus, our Lord, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, precious people watching us online, thank you, and partners. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He clears up the debate and the trap that the Pharisees tries to trap him in the about the greatest commandment and the greatest law to govern our lives. It's a law commandment. It's the royal law of love. Everything we do, decide, discuss, and dictate should be motivated by loving God and loving others. I'll say it again. Everything we do, decide, discuss, and dictate, that dictate our words, our deeds, our actions, should be motivated by loving God and loving others. Now, verse 37 and 38 says again, Jesus said unto them, You shall love the Lord your God. Look at three things. All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Everybody says God first. So you start assessing or ascertaining your love walk by first loving God. Now, people sometimes get contemporarily confused and say, well, I love my family, I love my friends, and so they measure love only on that level. But God, the Lord straightens out. He clarifies it. He said the first great commandment is how you love God. And this is how you love God. All your heart. That means he has my heart. He has my whole heart. He says all your soul. That's your mind, will, and emotion. And all your mind. That means you think God. You think about God. If you love God, you're thinking about how this will affect him. How this will honor him or dishonor him. So it represents the whole, this represents the whole person, loving God. So it means that I love him with everything I have. Loving the Lord includes and entails honoring God and then willingly obeying God. Now you think about it, your mind, because we talked about it Wednesday night previously, that, and we talked about it last Wednesday night, that you can sin with your mouth and your mind. John 14, verse 21 through 23, it says, Those who accept my commandments and obey them, New Living Translation, are the ones who love me. That's a qualifier. Who are the ones? How do I measure myself? If I'm loving, love God with everything I have, he said, accept God's commandments and what? Obey them. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So I get revelation. And then verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, but the other disciples with that name said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? And Jesus replied, All who love me, listen to this, will do what I say. all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with each of them. So love for Christ is demonstrated by keeping his commandments. So if you love Jesus, you're going to do what Jesus says and tells you what to do. Obedience flowing out of from love is very different than flowing out of obligation or duty. We always say it should flow out of devotion and delight instead of duty or as some debt obligation. Amen. Romans 13, verse 8 through 10, in the same New Living Translation, says, owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. Amen. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. See, these two commandments, loving God and loving others, are the greatest because they fulfill the law and together summarize all the Ten Commandments. All right, I want somebody who can be a willing volunteer. Come on up, Rusty. Okay, did somebody else have a hand up? Somebody else have it? Oh, Tracy, you two can come. All right. All right, so y'all going to help. All right, y'all going to help. We're going to put them on the clock, right? 1 minute. 1 minute. And the question is, list all the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. All Ten Commandments. Ready? Go. Got 1 minute. Okay. Okay, list them in order. Okay, that's one. That's one. That's one. Well, they don't have to be in order, but keep going. Okay, you got two.
Don't use the Lord thy God name in vain.
Okay.
Don't murder.
Don't murder.
Don't
okay.
Lie.
Don't steal.
Okay, there you go.
Don't
covet your neighbor's wife.
Yeah, that.
Okay. Okay, don't covet. Don't steal. Don't murder. Okay, y'all did that.
Okay.
You got a few more left. You said that one. Yep. Y'all run out of time. Come on. Now y'all should help your brothers and sisters up here. Hallelujah. We got 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8. Okay. Okay. We're up in time. All right. All right. So let's go through the Ten Commandments. Okay. What's the first one? Don't have any more gods. Now, if he said don't have it, that means what? You can have other gods. Money could be a god. Somebody else can be a god. Amen. Sister Tracy said it. So that's the first one. That's the big one. And then don't take the Lord's name in vain, right? Third one was what? Remember the Sabbath? Mm-hmm. I missed one, but that two was don't make any graven images. So don't have any gods before me. Don't make any graven images or carved images like statues, idolatry, right? So stuff can become an idolatry, like a car or phone. Or device, computer. All right, don't take the names Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, right?
Yes.
Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Commit adultery, right? Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Don't lie, basically.
Yeah.
Don't be dishonest. And then don't covet your neighbor's house or his wife or his servants or his stuff. Amen. Don't be jealous or covetous of what somebody else got that you don't have. Amen. Now it says love covers all, completes all that. Because if you love, you won't what? Covet. You won't murder. You won't steal. But how many know murder in the New Testament is equivalent to what? Hatred. If you hate somebody, you start murdering. Mm. Hallelujah. Let's give them a hand. Let's give them a great hand. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for being bold and daring. Hallelujah. I did have a blessing if you got all 10, but we'll save it for next time. Praise God. All right. So he said love fulfills the requirements of the like fulfilling 10. You don't have to remember the 10. The point is sometimes we may not be able to remember all 10. But what do you remember? Everybody say it with me. Love God. Love others. If you do that, you got them all taken care of. All the requirements of the law. It's very simple. Very clear. 1 John 4:20-21. If someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow brother, that person is a liar. Everybody say, I don't want to be a liar. 1 John 4:20-21. Look, if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? Now, we said hatred is not you stabbing a knife in someone or pulling a trigger with a bullet and a gun on them. That's not hatred. You know, I know they always say that in news, contemporary news, breaking news, gunshots or mass shooting or somebody got killed. But, you know, I mean, you know, there's killings going on perhaps every hour in the lives of ordinary people. It's called people murderous at heart, releasing hatred or haterade on their fellow person, brother or sister. Amen. Amen. He said, if you cannot love people, and remember, love is not a noun, it's a verb. It's an action word. Active love is what? Giving, forgiving. Doing the things that meet their needs, not just yours. Amen. Look at verse 21. And he has given us his commandment. Those who love God must also, what? Love their fellow believers. So if we went down the row and said, sister, did you love me this week? How did you love me this week? Did you love me this week? What? That's what it says. Love is not just gooey feelings. That means you actually demonstrated love toward me. It could have been in the form of praying. I prayed for you every day. Stood before the throne of God, calling your name, thanking God before the throne about you. And for you. Because love prays. Love does just not sit there and says, well, I like you today, Pastor. But I ain't feeling that green tie. And if you looked under my legs, I got green socks. Hey, one of the teams I'm representing. I got to keep y'all awake or entertained a little bit. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. But think about it. How'd you love them? Did you forget about me all week? Did you forget about your brothers and sisters all week? You know, you get a good message. Because, you know, that's one of the ways of my obedience to God, to you, is to give you a good word. Amen. Like we did Wednesday night, you know, in our discipleship group, and last Sunday, you know, we shared it. But some people go, set the notes aside. won't even text anybody if somebody do something good for you. He said, love. Now, hatred begins at this point when I withhold love or I refuse to love or refuse to forgive. When I withhold it, I just started hating you. Because he said, owe no man anything, but what do you owe him? What is my obligation? What does my payment do? To love you. I wonder how our love account is showing up in heaven. Are you listening to me? See, we begin to hate others when we choose to withhold love, care, and compassion to one another. I got too much going on. I'm too busy to make a phone call, to send a text of encouragement. We too busy to spend 2 minutes thanking God in prayer? Or asking him, Lord, who do you want me to show your love towards? Who do you want me to bless? Amen. See, love is not just, like I said, a feeling. It's a choice. Agape love is a choice. It's a choice. It's a choosing to love. That means I'm going to give you something. I'm going to bless you in some way. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. I'm going to spend time on my knees and give quality time to pray for you. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so if not, we begin to hate. Because he said, this is the big one. This is a big, great commandment. And then he said, the care means what? Care means anticipate your needs and meeting them. I like how, it was my fault. I left the refrigerator open. I was putting stuff in there, and had my grandson. It was a stressful moment that we got through, but I forgot to close the refrigerator, so I left it open. The water got hot. Well, brother came in, took care of it. He put the waters that I like in the freezer, got them cooled up. I'm like, that's care. I mean, it's simple, but that's care. That's anticipating the needs and meeting them. Amen. Pastor likes that water. Let me go ahead and put that in the refrigerator first. Praise God. That's showing the love. Thank you for the love, brother. What about compassion? Compassion is intense, eager yearning to do good. That means you don't come in here wanting people to do you good. You come in here really wanting to be good and do good to somebody else. You're asking that prayer as you're walking through the door or you're walking into your house. How can I help? Who do I need to help? How may I serve you? See, haterade is self-serving. You hear other people's stomach grumbling, but you go in there and fix your own bologna cheese sandwich. You go in there and fix your own soup and go sit down by yourself and just say, did you want something? Somebody say, glory to God. Y'all having fun today? To be unloving, remember, agape love is not a feeling but a choice. It's a verb. It's an action. It's an action word. It's not docile, dormant, feeling. You know, Jesus even asked over and later in the gospel, he said, how can you say you love me if you don't do what I say? Love is action. It's demonstrated by showing care, commitment, and compassion to others. How do we act on love when we refuse to give forgiveness or harbor unforgiveness? All right, I'm going to use the boys in a minute. So what does unforgiveness do? Come on up, Donnie and Dre. Rusty, can you help me? Come and help me. All right, so who wants to be the spirit of unforgiveness? So we'll let Dre be the spirit of unforgiveness. You're the person that he got, so you just touch him on the arm. Just touch him on the arm. All right, so the spirit of unforgiveness gets in you, right? You get mad at somebody, you don't want to deal with it. So, but Steve's going to tie up Donnie's arms. Put your arms behind you, Donnie. All right, just wrap him around and tie him up real good. So what happens when you get into unforgiveness? You can't love. Your faith won't work. You're immobilized. All right, Donnie, you got 10 seconds to get out of that. Ready? Go. Everybody say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, good job. Give him a hand. All right, thank you, guys. Here go, Donnie. Donnie, good job. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Here, just get one. Thank you. All right. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's how long you need to get out of it. You take to get out of it. 10 seconds. What happens in 10 seconds? If you don't deal with the act, and if you don't deal with the attitude, that spirit of holding a grudge or getting bitter will grow so quick, just like the weeds, that little bit of rain we got. Man, I got to deal with the grass now. And the snakes. Praise God. But if you don't deal with it, that stuff comes up. So you got to deal with the act, which is forgiveness deals with the action, what they did, what they said, how they mistreated you. Because when people hurt you, those things happen. You got to deal with the act. That means Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your what? Enemies. Bless those who what?
Curse you.
Do good to those that what? Hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Anytime you're feeling mistreated, you know the devil's working on you. You feel like nobody loves me, nobody cares for me. See, the love of God constrains us and compels us to extend his love even to those that are different and or difficult to us. We're supposed to pray for those. We're supposed to bless. We're supposed to not curse. They curse us out. We don't curse back. I didn't get much of a response. Amen. Mark 11:25 tells us, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. So that your Father in heaven might also forgive you your trespasses. What could be a trespass that we make at that point? We become unforgiving and unloving. Y'all know how it happens at the house. Y'all treat me bad, I ain't gonna cook. I ain't gonna do other stuff. We retaliate, right? We get sulky. We melt down. We shut down. Amen. Talk to the hand. You ain't getting. Well, praise God. I'm running out of time. Amen. How do you forgive? Instantly, proactively, reactively, and regularly. So when something hits you or hurts you, you gotta get into action. Right? Then you gotta deal with the attitude. Secondly. When we have to do something to deal with our attitude. The Bible says whatever we bless, we take away the ability for it to hurt you. So we cannot respond with cursing when we got cursed. Insult when we got insulted. Loud, getting louder when they got loud with us. Amen. 1 Peter 3:9 says, do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Everybody say, this is in the Bible. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. How do you pay people back? Can y'all read? You pay them back how?
With a blessing.
With a blessing. Oh, they don't have that on you. Okay. With a blessing. That's what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his what? He's called us to be blessers, not cursers. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We're almost done. Everybody enjoying this? All right, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. I was going to read it up there, but that's okay. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, as I'm closing here and closing thoughts here for you, do you remember we shared that natural human love is based in selfishness? It is. And all that natural human love is not good enough because selfishness can turn to hatred overnight. Yes. Now, natural human love, we said before, is family love, the storge, eros love, the romantic love. I mean, we got Valentine's coming up. But their focus a lot of times is on eros, romantic love. Thank God for it. But it's not good. It's good in the right context of marriage, but it's not good enough. Because it can turn into hatred overnight. Brotherly love. Friends could fall out because of gossip, slander, somebody saying something wrong to offend the person. Selfishness ruins the world. Selfishness ruins marriages and families. Amen. I mean, you've seen, you know, family meals where people get what they want first for themselves, and then other people get upset or frustrated. How come you got all that? How come you didn't leave enough for me? And that starts what? Fights. Selfishness ruins marriages and families. Selfishness ruins the church. But the God kind of love, agape love, never fails because it's unselfish. It always puts the other person first. Now, the question is, am I practicing that, putting other people first? Unfortunately, too many Christians are selfish. For they let natural human love dominate them. My baby, my kids, my children, my grandchildren. And they're really selfish about them. Instead of putting the love of God around them. And that's why they come up wicked and wayward and wild, because we've been operating in natural human love instead of the God kind of love. Amen. Yeah, don't shut me down. I'm almost done. Come on. Yeah, amen. So therefore, they demonstrate no love for God and they love for others. You know, in Hebrews 12, chapter 12, you guys had that up? Hebrews 12. 3 through 9. I was going to read off screen. Hebrews 3. Because loving others is sometimes tough and stern, which is something we're missing today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 through 9 says this. Think of all the hostility he endured, Jesus, from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. We're supposed to think about what Jesus went through. Sometimes what we have to go through in loving others. Jesus did everything in love. He was the epitome of love. But sometimes he went in and had to whip the people out of the church because they were gambling in church. They were taking advantage of people in church, trying to sell their business in church. Praise the Lord. After all, you've not given your lives to your struggle against sin like Jesus did. Okay, keep going. Verse 5. And you have forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children. He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one that he accepts as his child. Everybody say discipline and punishment are acts of love. You should love your children and grandchildren enough to correct them, to discipline them. Sometimes love is tough. We said love tough. Love comes first, but you got to be tough. You got to be stern. All right, keep going. Verse 7. As you endure this divine discipline, remember God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? Keep going. Number 8. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and you are not really his children at all. Keep going. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? Amen. Now listen to what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12 says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, a son, in whom he, what? Delights. So sometimes love must be tough and stern. God's love is stern sometimes because he has discipline and correct us. His discipline and corrections are good for us because he loves us. Amen. Proverbs 13:24 in the New Living says, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Discipline is the correction of morals, manners, and motives. It is encouraged obedience to the moral laws of God and the rule of law that govern our cities, states, and nation. We raise up law-abiding citizens and children. Education, instruction, improvement, submission to authority, training in honor and humility, application of skillful and godly wisdom. That's all discipline. Everybody said, that's some work, Pastor. That's a love work. Amen. If all you do is my baby, my boy, my, and you never discipline, you don't love them. Now let's close with the harmful effects of animosity and harboring ill will. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. I'm reading out of the Century English Version, CEV. It says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. That's pretty plain to me. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. See, be kind is like being nice. The opposite of being kind is being harsh. Yeah, I remember when two ministers, a pastor and his wife, went to a house, and they could tell harsh words have been spoken because love first sets the atmosphere of your home. You can kind of tell if harsh words or kind words have been spoken. See, God is love. Love is kind. Every word and every action that makes someone feel less or little is evil. Every word or action that makes someone feel less or little is evil. So we must ask ourselves some questions as we close. What have I done with the God kind of love that's in my heart? How have I developed it and practiced it? All of us have 7 days to practice. It's called H-O-M-E, at home. Am I loving God by willingly obeying him? Examples would be, am I walking in honor? Am I walking in humility? Am I submission to his word, in submission to his word and his will? Am I refusing to worry, carry burdens and cares, or be anxious? Because that's not what he said. He said, don't worry. And we think worrying is okay. Worrying is to be expected based on what I'm going through. No, it's not. Worry is a sin. Are you listening to me? And, of course, worry is spiritual contraband, and worry is temporary atheism. It's like, God, you don't exist, so I'm going to take the care of it. I'm going to worry about it myself. What about walking in instant forgiveness and unconditional love? Don't letting 10 seconds go by without saying, Lord, I'm letting it drop. Just like Donnie got out of the rope. You got to get out of it. You got to get out of that unforgiveness quickly. Before that bitterness and that resentment and that anger comes up too quick. Am I loving others? Am I choosing to love and to forgive? Am I showing compassion and care to others? Am I demonstrating an unwavering, tireless, and relentless commitment toward others? Because love's hopes are faithless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Doesn't fail, doesn't fall apart. Doesn't say, I'm done with you. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Y'all get something out of this today? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.